Storytelling has always been an important part of creating institutional identity, whether within tribes, groups, or bureaucracies. Stories are repeated by those inside the culture to know and remind themselves who they are, why they're unique or special, and sometimes they're shared to edify or impress outsiders. The stories often include origin legends or tales of heroes' journeys, the stuff of which Joseph Campbell wrote with such insight. My personal experience with these narratives was most profound during my years of service as a United States Marine. During long hours at sea and while at war in the desert, I gave a lot of thought to the role stories played in shaping the Marine Corps in which I served. Here's where that line of thinking took me. Well into World War II, the attention of most Americans was focused on Europe and engagements being fought by soldiers in U.S. Army units there. Fewer eyes and minds were on the Pacific Theater, where American Marines would be embarking on a slogging fight to grab hold of a succession of fiercely defended islands that screened the Japanese homeland. Most U.S. journalists reporting on the war were in Europe, and that could have meant that battles fought by Marines would be invisible to most Americans. Thinking cynically, the Corps would be recipient of less perceived glory. Early in wars, when violence is mostly notional, this kind of thing seems important. Pragmatically, the absence of dramatic public evidence of their efforts could result in Pacific forces not getting the resources they needed to prevail. On a higher ethical plane, it would mean that sacrifices made by force members there would go unacknowledged. A Marine general named Robert Denig Jr. solved the dilemma by creating what he called Marine Corps Combat Correspondents. And this was the deal he offered journalists from big city newsrooms, radio stations, and newsreel companies. Make it through the Corps' tough boot camp, and we'll promote you to sergeant and send you immediately to the front. We guarantee you'll see action. Tell the stories of the Marines you're with, he told them. We'll get those stories into newspapers, radio networks, and movie theaters across the country. It worked. Reporting like this,
it's a scene that is difficult to describe.
From Sergeant Bill Ross, pulled Americans, at least in empathetic imagination, alongside Marines lying flat on black sand beaches at Iwo Jima.
Off the bow of our ship as our ramp went down were these Marines stretched out for cover behind those terraces we told you about earlier, and also wounded men lying on stretchers and some not on stretchers, waiting for aid to be given them and waiting to be evacuated to the hospital ships, which are lying out beyond us, out of range of this artillery and mortar fire. Not one but hundreds of men crouched down there behind those terraces. And not one but hundreds of wrecked machines. Jeeps, a couple of wrecked tanks, Amtraks, all sorts of equipment scattered and strewn around helter-skelter. It's a sight that is difficult to describe, as we said, and it's typical of what's going on there this morning. And that is a very hard, difficult, tough fight.
Americans saw the determined heroism of those Marines in articles in their hometown papers, in radio reports like Bill's from Iwo, and in movie newsreels using footage shot by Marine combat photographers. They affirmed a narrative that was true, but in my view, were actions inspired by another sort of institutional storytelling, perhaps less based in fact and more in wishful thinking. One can make the argument that the Marine Corps' contribution to the nation's defense as a small, specialized naval infantry or counterinsurgency force, while worthy, was until the Second World War somewhat limited, even occasionally lackluster. A concerted effort to change that narrative began during the First World War, with significant energy being put toward trumpeting Marines' combat successes in ways that might have embellished when it came to describing tactical or strategic impact. Constant reinforcement, though, within the ranks and outside, that Marines were devil dogs who were always first to fight, over time created a narrative with two key results. First, those presently in uniform came to understand that they would be diminishing the memory of those who had sacrificed before if they failed to live up to those same standards of excellence. And second, individuals seeking opportunities to excel self-selected to serve as Marines. So it's my view that public square narratives, even if originating in wishful thinking, can evolve into truthful realization. And as General Denig realized long before cable TV inaugurated the 24/7 news cycle, now further supercharged by social media, if you don't tell your institution's story, it's possible no one else will. More likely, though, someone will tell a story different from the one you think most accurate or best describing the institution of your aspirations.